Well, let me say that it's an honor and a privilege to be here. And I do love you, Gabe. I've known Gabe a long time. I was thinking today we have a lot in common. Both old musicians. Been at this preaching thing, pastoring, short while. Both have very pretty wives. And Gabe's tall, dark, and handsome. And I'm tall. If you would turn with me in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And while you're turning there, let me read to you the words of our Lord found in Luke chapter 4, verse 27. Our Lord said, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." Now, how different are God's thoughts and ways than ours, especially when he acts in the freeness of his grace. He passes by others and singles out the most unlikely recipients of his love, mercy, and grace. And such was the case with Naaman the Syrian. Look at verse 1 with me, 2 Kings chapter 5. "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." He was a leper. Immediately, the Holy Spirit from the pages of divine inspiration tells us some very informative things about this man named Naaman. We're first told that he was a captain of the host of the king. More than likely, he was a general, the one in charge of the king's army. He was a great man, the verse tells us. Not only was Naaman great in the eyes of the people, but also in the eyes of his master, the king. He was a great man. He was very successful. But notice also that his success was given by the Lord. It says, "Because by him the Lord had given deliverance into Syria." All men's success, may we never forget this, whether believers or unbelievers, all men's success, whether they know the Lord or not, is given by God. He was highly esteemed among men, a man of courage and bravery, and naturally speaking, what more could a man ask for? Naaman possessed everything that natural men desire, everything. He had a great life. He was admired by all and envied by many. He had the respect of all his country, for he served his country well. In other words, Naaman was a hero among the people. However, God's word always, always speaks the truth concerning men and women and presents them as they truly are. Notice those last five words again in verse 1. But in spite of all these other things, all these other great characteristics, he was a leper. Men flatter men, but God doesn't. Instead of praising and applauding and commending and speaking highly of natural men, God, true to his word, lays them in the dust. God's word never eulogizes human merit. Never, never does that. The scriptures always clearly proclaim that natural men and women are corrupt. God's word puts all fallen men and women in the same category. God says there's none that doeth good, none that understands. What don't we understand? Well, we don't understand what we are, and we don't understand who God is. Not by nature, we don't. There's none that seeks after God. All men, all women, in vanity, seek their own way. They're all gone aside, out of God's way, to their own way. They're all together collectively, and all together completely become filthy, having hearts which are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Not just wicked, but desperately wicked. God's word declares that the thoughts of men and women's heart are only evil continually. All mankind, nothing but spiritual lepers, foul, filthy, unfit, alienated from the life of God, undeserving of His divine presence. As it was with Naaman, so it is with us. Men may occupy a good position in this world. They may have material wealth. They may have worldly fame and be admired and respected by all. They may be moral, honest, and trustworthy. By human standards, men may have many praiseworthy achievements. But all appear the same in the eyes of God Almighty. They're lepers. Oh, how I pray that God might make men and women aware of their souls, that their souls are suffering from a disease that no human physician can cure. God's word does not sugarcoat man's spiritual condition. From the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, man is a mass of wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. Isaiah 1:6. And our disease is called sin. Sin. There's no physical or natural prescribed remedy for it. It can only be cured by a divine miracle. Only by a divine miracle. I recently did a little research, I guess you could call it that. I got on the internet. And on this dreaded disease called leprosy. And it's amazing, amazing to me how in so many ways leprosy pictures our horrific sin, our horrific disease called sin. Leprosy to the non-observing eye is at first unnoticeable. It usually begins with a small spot or a slight discoloration, which gives no real cause for warning. But the effects bring horrible, horrible results. So it is with sin. To the natural man, the eating of the forbidden fruit by our first parents appears to be an insignificant act in comparison to the awful effects that it produced. However, the result of sin is the same as leprosy. It brings about certain death. There's none that can escape its dreadful prognosis. Leprosy is highly contagious. None of Adam's race is beyond sin's contagious effects. We were all born with this inward corruption called sin, whereby as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, Romans 5:12. Leprosy, you might find it interesting to know, begins with little or no pain. Only in its latter stages do the painful effects come to full fruition. Sin, too, is so subtle, isn't it? So subtle that we first seem to be unconscious of it. No wonder the writer of Hebrews calls it the deceitfulness of sin. It's not until the Spirit of God begins to convict that the carrier of the disease is made conscious of its crippling work. And leprosy rapidly spreads. The study of leprosy reveals that though it begins, as I said, with small spots and discoloration of the skin, that it rapidly increases in size until the whole body is affected. And is it not the same with sin? The outward effect is the result due to an inward cause. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The heart, the mind, the conscience, the spirit, soul, and body are equally poisoned by our spiritual leprosy called sin. Leprosy is loathsome, detestable. How detestable it must have been to look upon one infected with this loathsome disease. Rotting flesh, sores that oozed, while others scabbed and cracked. Oh, words won't allow me to adequately describe the horrible effects. Cartilage and nerves exposed, appendages half gone. Bones showing through the flesh that's rotted away. Leprosy was often accompanied by blindness, and causing the affected one to grope in darkness and cry, "Unclean, unclean." One old writer said that leprosy is a walking sepulcher of death. And again, I ask you, friends, is this not a picture of the dead dog sinner? David said in Psalm 38, verse 7, "For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there's no soundness in my flesh." None. None. Sin is loathsome, detestable. No matter how horrific and repulsive the leper looked to another, our sin is even more despicable to God. As detestable as leprosy was, it does not begin to compare with the repulsiveness of sin to a thrice holy God. And leprosy brought forth banishment. Banishment. According to the Levitical law, no leper was allowed to remain in the congregation of Israel. Leviticus 13, verse 46 says, "He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." Sin causes alienation. Banishment. Sin has alienated us from the life of God through the ignorance that's in us. Ephesians 4:18. Men by nature are ignorant of the righteousness of God. And what do? They go about to establish their own righteousness by endeavoring to cover their sin, their leprosy, with the works of their own hands. And only the work of Christ for the sinner will bring nigh the sinner who was once far off and alienated from God by their spiritual leprosy. And lastly, leprosy was naturally incurable. The cure of this loathsome disease was beyond all human aid. It was fatal, as we've already established. And sin is naturally incurable. There's no human remedy. Death is the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. The scripture's clear, isn't it? And unless a miracle of God's grace be done for chosen sinners, eternal death is for certain. But there's great hope and comfort to be found in the story of Naaman the leper. May God be pleased to give it to us tonight. So we see here from verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5, though outwardly and naturally speaking, Naaman had, as we say, the world by the tail. The Spirit of God tells us he was a leper who was sure to die without a miracle of grace. Now, there are multitudes of men and women, you know, all of you know some, who are right now living the good life, as men say. They have everything that they could ever want or desire, and they have no idea, no clue whatsoever that they're spiritual lepers. Look at verse 2. "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." My second point is the saved sinner's deliverance is always brought about by God's divine providence. There's so much this verse tells us without actually saying it. The Syrians, by the sovereign permission and purpose of God, had previously invaded the land of Israel. And God providentially allowed some captives to be taken, among whom was a little maid. Her name's not given. Little maid, insignificant in the eyes of men. Can you imagine how her parents felt? I thought about this. This little young lady. I looked at your daughter today, so precious and beautiful. Can you imagine being taken away from you? Why, oh why, 1,000 times why, they must have asked. Why my little girl? Why my precious daughter? Why had God allowed their home to be shattered by the taking of their precious little daughter? Why was she a favored daughter of Abraham, now a servant in Naaman's household? Why did God allow this involuntary separation from her loving parents? What was the reason for this cruel captivity? God was shaping things in His mysterious way for the accomplishment of His good and wise purpose. Nothing happens in this world by chance. A predestinating God has planned every detail in our lives. Every detail. David said, my times are in thy hand. All my times are in thy hand. Paul said on Mars Hill that day that God hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of all men's habitation. It was God who directed this little maid of Israel to become a member of Naaman's household. And why? Why? That she might be a link in the chain of God's providence, which ended not only in the healing of Naaman's leprosy, as we'll see, but also, most probably, the salvation of his soul. Here's the light, friends. Here's the light that shines forth from God's mysterious providence. Behind every trial, God is working all things for the good of them that love Him. If you're one of His, one of the called according to His purpose, God is working right now for your good. Romans 8:28. And oh, how wonderful is the providence of God who knows all things and doeth all things well. What a comfort that is. God always providentially directs His servants to serve His sovereign purpose for the good of His people. Now look at verse 3. And she, speaking of the little maid, said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with Were God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Third point, God's servants, great or small, always speak and point needy sinners to God's prophet. The first thought that entered my mind was how easy it would have been for this young lady to have hatred in her heart for the one that had taken her from her family. How easy it would have been to be maliciously pleased that Naaman would be afflicted in his body with this dreaded disease. Do you know why that was my first thought? Because that's exactly how I would have felt. But my words would have been, it serves him right. He's getting what he deserves. And this little maid puts me to shame. She simply proclaims that which she knows to be so. She proclaimed the good news that through God's prophet, there was salvation for even the worst leper. Should be no surprise to us that the name Elijah means the salvation of God. Therefore, it should be no wonder to us that God's prophet, God's priest, and God's king, the Lord Jesus Christ, his name means Jehovah saves. The only hope of deliverance from the deadly disease of leprosy, sin, the sinner must be brought before God's prophet. Must be. Verse 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Now here I believe is a beautiful illustration of the preaching of the gospel. Thus and thus said the maid. When God's servants stand to preach, we're not giving you our opinions. We're not telling you what we think. Our proclamation, as voices crying in the wilderness, is, "Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord." "Thus and thus," she said. "Thus saith the Lord." Preaching is declaring what God has done for sinners. Now, I rejoice greatly that God is pleased to make use of little and despised things. Who would expect her to do service for the Lord? Who would be inclined to listen to this little maid's voice? Her age, her nationality, her position were all against her. Yet because she used her opportunity and she bore witness to her mistress, her simple message reached the ears of the king of Syria. Isn't that amazing? May the Lord grant us to be faithful wherever he's placed us. Now, let's read verses 5 through 7 together. "And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.'" My fifth point: there's no help that can come from man. No help. No help. Men and women will try every natural and human means possible to be saved. Multitudes seek to be cleansed by their works, the works of their own righteousness, which is nothing but filthy rags. Psalm 106, verse 39 says, "Thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions." Men and women still seek out many inventions to no profit or avail. Helpless sinners look to preachers, they look to priests, and even presidents for help. But there's no man that can help. No man that can help. Men and women must look higher. They must look to God. David said, "I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And may we take the words of the king of Israel to heart. Notice again what he said: "Am I God? Am I God to kill and to make alive?" What he's saying is, "I'm just a man. I'm just a man. Can a man recover another man from his leprosy?" Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Dear leper, there's only one that can help. Lift up your eyes towards the hills, for help cometh from the Lord. Look at verse 8. "And it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Why are you so troubled? Let him," meaning the leper, now look at this, "come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel." Friends, life is found in coming to Christ, God's prophet. Elijah, the man of God, God's prophet, says, "Let Naaman the leper come now to me." Elijah was a man of God, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. And he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is where the healing is for our leprosy. That's where it's found. It's found in coming to Christ. He's the way, the only way. He's the truth, the only truth. He's the life, the only life. And no man, no woman Nobody cometh unto the Father but by Him. But by Him. Now, if leprosy-plagued sinners are enabled by God to come to Christ, there's one thing that will be made certain to them every time. Those of you that know Him know this to be so. They shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. There's a prophet in Israel, friends, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him. That's where life is. That's where life is. Okay, verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away, and he said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. And are not Abinah and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He grew even angrier. My next point is this: the pride of fallen man and the simplicity of the gospel. Oh, the pride of man. Here comes Naaman with all his horses and chariots. Can you just picture that? But he wasn't yet stripped of his self-righteousness, nor yet aware that he was entirely dependent on divine mercy. Naaman rides in with the pride and the pomp of a man's imagined splendor. His pretentious fanfare did not lessen his terrible condition one bit. He was still a leper. No matter how costly the flashy and high decorated apparel that covered his body, it didn't avail anything in diminishing or removing the loathsome disease which lay beneath the clothes. All the gifts he brought to Elijah could not purchase what he needed most. Oh, the pride of sinful man. God wasn't impressed, and neither was Elijah. Elijah didn't even come out to meet Naaman, but he sends his servant with a message, and oh, what a simple message it was. A simple message. The servant of God, the servant of God's prophet delivers this simple message to the leper. What was it? What was this message? Go and wash. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. What? That's it? That's your message? That's our message. That's what you preach, Brother Paul, Todd, Gabe. Go and wash. Go and wash. Why was Naaman so angry? Why did he get so mad and walk away? Well, men and women by nature want to do some great thing to be saved, don't they? Naaman got mad and walked away. Why? Because the means of his redemption was not as he thought. He said, Behold, I thought. That's where we get in trouble, isn't it? Naaman expected a big to-do. He expected a big religious service and show. Behold, I thought, he said, I thought the prophet would come out. I mean, I am somebody. I'm Naaman. I'm somebody. I thought the prophet would come out and stand before me in his religious attire, and he would call upon his God with flowery words of systematic theology. I thought the prophet would come out and put his hands upon me and anoint me with oil and command the leprosy to leave. So many times I've heard, I thought you're services would have more contemporary music. I thought your church would offer more activities for the kids. How many times have you pastors heard that? I thought I'd have to walk an aisle, say a prayer, make a decision. I thought. It doesn't matter what you think. He thought, I deserve better than this. There are waters in my own country much better than all the waters in Israel. Are there any Naamans here tonight? Do you feel you're so great that you deserve better than what God gives? Will you turn and leave in a rage? Don't allow your heart and your mind, I beg you for Christ's sake, don't allow your heart and mind to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Simplicity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's it. Believe. Will you listen tonight to this unprofitable servant's voice of reason? Look at verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Great men want to do great things. But broken men and women who are dying with leprosy will do anything to be cleansed of their leprosy of sin. And I tell you what, they'll heed the simple message of God's gospel if they see that they're dying. Go and wash. Come to Christ, for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All of it. 1 John 1:7. Now, I don't want to get into Brother Mike's time, but I got to show you this before I finish. The submission and the salvation of the sinner always accompanies. Verse 14, then when he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Verse 15, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and he stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know. How I know that there is no God in all the earth but the God that's in Israel. The child of God will be made to know that there is a prophet in Israel. There is a prophet in Israel. The child of God will be made to know that there's no God in all the earth but the God of the heavenly Jerusalem. The child of God has been made to know whom they have believed. And they're persuaded. Didn't God persuade you? He persuaded me. The child of God's been persuaded that God is what? Able. Able to save to the uttermost those that come to him by Christ. Wash your leprosy away in that fountain that's filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. For sinners plunge beneath that flood. That flood lose all their guilty stain. Amen. Thank you, Brother Gabe.
What a blessing. I believe I'm going to be saying that quite a bit. What a blessing. We're going to take about a 5-minute or longer break if we need to. There are some extra bathrooms at the Renaissance Center if we need more bathrooms. And when you hear the piano start playing, you can come back and we'll hear another message. Okay, you're dismissed.